The first reading is from Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power." This is the word of the Lord.
And the next reading is in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 12 to chapter 4, verse 1. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jess and Lucy, thank you so much for those readings. Please keep that second reading in front of you, everybody, on page 1180. As we continue our studies in the book of Philippians, and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you speak to us today, lovingly and powerfully, in your word, the Bible. Please teach us things that we need to know, and please change us in ways that we need to be changed, for your glory. Amen. Well, in August of last year, an athlete, Rose Harvey, was on the start line of the marathon at the Paris Olympic Games, representing Great Britain. She made a great start to the race and was up there with the leaders. But about 2 miles into the marathon, she started to feel a terrible pain in her leg. Doctors discovered later that she had a stress fracture in her leg. She had actually broken her leg. But since it was the Olympics, she was determined to keep going. And mile by mile, cheered on by the crowd, she kept running. Now, Harvey didn't win the race that day. In fact, she finished some time after the leaders. But Harvey did finish the race. What determination, what perseverance. Even with a broken leg, she kept going to the end of that marathon. Well, today's reading is all about how we keep going as Christian believers. Final verse of our reading was Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. The chapter breaks in our Bibles are not part of the original scripture. They're added later, and they don't always fall in the most helpful places. Chapter 4, verse 1 is linked to the rest of our reading by the word therefore. It sums up what this whole reading has been about. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. In other words, this is how you keep going as Christian believers. Now, we've seen in the letter of Philippians so far that the Philippians faced persecution. They also faced false teachers who wanted to lure them away from trusting in Jesus to trust instead in themselves and their own religious achievements. We too, as committed Christians, are in a minority. Some of us may face persecution. All of us find it hard going against the flow of the world. We too have false teachers around us in society who want to lure us away from trusting in Jesus. Well, in the face of these things, how can we keep going as Christian believers? How do we make it to the end? Well, Paul shows us two vital attitudes to have. And the first is run with energy. Run with energy to know Jesus better and to be more like him. This is the message of verses 12 to 16, where Paul uses himself as an example. Let's read verses 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Now, in these verses, Paul uses the language of a race to describe the Christian life. And three things stand out in how Paul runs the race. The first is his humility. He says in verse 12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. He knows he's not yet the finished article. He's not there yet. Now, this follows on directly from verses 10 and 11 we saw last week. In verse 10, Paul says, I want to know Christ. Now, Paul does know Jesus, but he wants to know him more. Also in verse 10, Paul says he wants to know the power of his resurrection. He wants to know more and more the power of the living Jesus working in his life. Paul even says he wants to know participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Now, Jesus loved us and served us when he died on the cross to save us. And Paul says he wants to be more like Jesus in that way, loving others, serving others, even sacrificing for others. And even though he is an apostle, in humility, Paul knows that he's not yet the finished article. He's not yet arrived at his goal. He knows he still has a lot of growing to do when it comes to knowing Jesus and being like Jesus. He runs with humility. Second thing that marks Paul's race is effort.
Do you notice the effort in Paul's language in verses 12 to 14? So second half of verse 12, he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Then in the middle of verse 13, he says, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes if you watch very closely on televised athletics, you see the face of the athletes as they run. And here is Usain Bolt running in the London 2012 Olympics. And his face, if you can make it out, is quite a picture. So as he runs, Bolt is not distracted. He is entirely focused on the finish. And as he runs, he's not casual. There's not a muscle in his body which is idle. Every part of him is straining forward and pressing on towards that finish line. And Paul is saying that is how he lived the Christian life. Not distracted by past failures or past successes, but focused on Jesus. And he says he strains forward, he presses forward, he makes every effort to make progress towards his goal of knowing Jesus and being like him. So Paul runs the race. He runs with humility and with effort and also with trust. We saw this in verse 13. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. See, in the Christian life, our effort is always in response to what Jesus has already done for us. Christ died on the cross. He paid for our sins so that we can know him in living relationship. If we trust in Jesus today, that is because Jesus Christ has taken hold of us. And he will keep hold of us. And he will get us to that finish line to be with him. One day we will know him completely and be perfectly like him. And because of this trust, well, we respond by making every effort to grow in knowing Jesus and being like him. That's how Paul runs the Christian race. And he says in verse 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. This is how he wants each one of us to live the Christian life. And did you notice in verse 15, Paul says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. It's a particular challenge to those of us who've been following Jesus for a while. He says to us, don't be complacent thinking you've got there already. Run with humility. You've still got a lot of growing to do. Saying don't be idle. Don't be casual. Run with energy to know Jesus better and be more like him. Don't depend on yourself. Trust in Christ who has taken hold of you. That's how we keep going as Christians. Now, years ago, I went with a group to Velodrome, which is a cycling racing track, like this one you can see in the picture. And we were all given fancy racing bikes, and we were given those special shoes which clip into the pedals. And my downfall always in situations like this is I don't listen properly to the instructions. But we started round the track. Everything was fine so long as we were cycling. And then one by one, everyone in the group came to a halt and we formed a line. And I watched the people in front of me unclip a foot from their pedal and put it on the floor. And that's when I realized I had no idea how to unclip my feet from the pedal. So it came to a halt, found, as we all know, on a stationary bike, you can't balance. And there was nothing for it but to keep as cool and casual as possible as the bike and I just tipped over to one side. Well, we all know it, don't we? On a bike, if you try to stay still, you fall off. The only way to keep going is to keep moving forward. That's what we're seeing here in verses 12 to 16. In the Christian faith, if we try to stand still, we can fall off. The way to keep going in the Christian life is to press on, to strain forward, to make every effort to know Jesus better and be more like him. Well, what does it mean in practice? It means building a habit of coming to God's word with hunger and with humility, asking God to teach us to know Jesus better. There's some great resources on the bookstall to help us with that. means we come to church, we come to a growth group if we can, not out of habit, but eager to know Jesus more and to become more like him as we gather around his word. It means that when we serve others at home or here at church, we do it not just out of duty because we have to, but we serve because we want to be more like Jesus, who did so much to serve us. It's how we keep going in the Christian life. Run with energy to know Jesus better and to be more like him. Well, Paul goes on to give us a perspective that helps us run with energy. And in verses 17 to 21, he tells us to look forward eagerly. Look forward eagerly to Jesus' return. First of all, in these verses, Paul warns us that many have their minds set on earthly things. We read his warning in verses 17 to 19. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Now, who are these people that Paul warns of? He may just be talking about the non-Christian world. He may also be talking about those inside the church who claim to follow Jesus, but actually have their mind set on earthly things. Paul says these people live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Do you remember back in chapter 2, Paul told us to have the same attitude as Jesus who died on the cross? Now, Jesus put other people ahead of himself. Jesus was ready to humble himself and to serve others. That's the attitude his followers should have. But many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. They may say they believe in the cross, but they live as enemies of it. They put themselves first, not other people. They're not prepared to humble themselves and to serve others, especially when it involves sacrifice. Paul says in verse 19, their God is their stomach. In other words, they've made physical appetites the number one thing in their lives. They live for food, for pleasure, for shopping, for leisure. Paul says their mind is set on earthly things. Now, of course, we all have to think about earthly things, but the people Paul's talking about here have their mind set on earthly things. What do they look to keep them safe? Not Jesus, but earthly things like money and qualifications. Where do they look for comfort and for joy? Not to Christ, but to possessions and experiences here on earth. What do they look forward to in life? Not being with Christ, but earthly pleasures. And Paul says their destiny is destruction. Those with their minds set on earthly things aren't trusting in Jesus. They're heading for God's judgment. And so Paul warns the Philippians with tears, and he warns us. We're surrounded by people who are living for earthly things and trusting in earthly things, not in Jesus. He says, don't follow that example. It leads to destruction. The mindset of true believers, in contrast, is completely different. Look at verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. As Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. Our true home, our eternal home, is not here. It is with Christ in heaven. That's why as Christians we don't really fit in here on earth. Our true home is in heaven. That's why as Christians we don't have our minds set on earthly things. We know our everlasting home isn't here on earth. It's with the Lord in heaven. And Paul says we eagerly await a Savior from there. In other words, we look forward passionately to Jesus' return. Now, the second coming of Jesus is a huge theme in the Bible. His return is mentioned over 300 times in the New Testament. And we don't know when he will return, but he has promised he will. And looking forward to Jesus' return, hope is a vital quality in the Christian life. Whether he comes in our lifetime or after our lifetime, his return will be a wonderful day for those who are trusting in him. Because as it says here, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Now, when we're young, it's easy to imagine that our physical bodies will be strong forever. But the truth is they are lowly, in other words, weak and frail. It's estimated that around half of the population will suffer from cancer. If it's not cancer, it'll be something else. It's estimated at least a quarter of the population will face mental health struggles seriously during their lives. It's true, isn't it? These bodies of ours are weak and frail. And not only are they subject to disease and decay, our bodies are subject to sin. So even as forgiven people who love God, we find we keep on breaking his word and rejecting his ways and hurting ourselves and hurting those around us. But when Jesus returns, he'll transform these weak bodies to be like his glorious body. At last, there'll be no more sickness or suffering or death. Our bodies will be made like his resurrected body. At last, there'll be no more sin, because we will see Jesus and be with him and be made perfectly like him. See, Christian brothers and sisters, we have this wonderful future, this certain future ahead of us. We should look forward to it eagerly. It's part of how we keep going as Christian believers. Now, one of the great open water swimmers of the 20th century was Florence Chadwick. And here's a photo of her in her wonderfully old-fashioned goggles. Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swim the English Channel. And in 1952, she tried to swim the Catalina Channel. That's a 26-mile stretch of water off the coast of California. It's a treacherous stretch of water, the Catalina Channel. It's shark-infested, so she had a boat with her, with people with rifles, in case the sharks came too close. And it also suffers from bad weather conditions. So as Florence Chadwick was swimming, a thick fog came down, and she couldn't see the shoreline she was heading for. And she swam for 16 hours before she ran out of steam and was pulled from the water. And they discovered she was just half a mile from the finish. But, of course, she couldn't see it. Well, 2 months later, she tried again. As she was swimming, the same thick fog descended. But this time, Florence Chadwick kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind. She's held in her mind's eye a picture of the destination. She kept on thinking about and imagining that shoreline as she swam. And she made it across, smashing the records. Christians, that's what we must do with Jesus' return. We've got to look forward to it eagerly. Just remind ourselves every day, heaven is our home. We should imagine what it'll be like to be with Jesus, to see him and to be made like him. We should dream about our transformed bodies, free at last from suffering, from sickness, from sin. We should praise God for these future realities. And as we do that, we find we're less fixated on earthly things. We're more patient. We're more loving. We're more able to trust God and keep going when trials come. So Paul concludes in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. See, Rose Harvey kept going in the marathon, even though she broke her leg. Florence Chadwick kept swimming across that channel, even though the fog had descended. How do we keep going as Christian believers, even when it's hard? Well, ultimately, it's God who keeps us going. We saw that if we're believers, Christ has taken hold of us. He will keep hold of us. But he keeps us going by working these attitudes in us. run with energy. Don't be complacent or casual in the Christian life. Run with energy to know Jesus better and be more like him. And look forward eagerly. Don't be fixated on the things of this world. Look forward eagerly to Jesus' return. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we give you our thanks. You came into this world, you died on that cross so that we can know you. Lord, you have taken hold of us if we trust in you. And Lord, you will return and transform these weak bodies to be like your glorious body. Lord, we pray you would help us to keep going in the Christian life. Lord, forgive us for times when we are complacent and casual. Help us to run with energy, to know you better and be more like you. Lord, forgive us for times when we're so fixated on the things of this world. Teach us to look forward eagerly to your return. We ask this in your name. Amen.